Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast. To my right, Pastor David. To my left, Pastor Bob. I am Jeribai, somewhere in the middle.
Someone has to be.
Hey, I'm between two pastors today. It's great.
The rock and the hard place.
Rock and the hard place. Yeah. Speaking of rock and the hard place. Hey, so today we're going to talk about Psalm 46.
Oh, yeah.
Good psalm.
We were just talking about what should we talk about on this podcast? What should we go over? And this psalm kind of came to mind. And coincidentally, I'm just kidding. Mm. So David was also thinking about the psalm this week. Mm-hmm. So we're like, this must be the one.
It's going to be good.
So I think we'll start with Pastor Bob.
Well, he's the psalmist, David. I think we should start with him.
With psalmist David?
Am I supposed to start?
We should 46. Read it. We can read it.
You want to read it?
Some people know what we're talking about.
Psalm 46. What does it say? You want
to
start?
Yeah. Somebody needs to hear that.
Wait, we're doing passion? You want us to do passion?
No, let's do regular version.
Regular.
Good old MEV.
What's MEV?
Modern English version. Oh,
yeah, go for it. MEV? Yeah.
All right. So here it is. God is our refuge and strength, a well-proven help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. Pause and think about it. Mm. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. How about we do this? Let's do the first three verses. Selah. Because there's a couple of those in here.
Yeah. Good.
It's kind of cool in the Passion Translation. It says, Selah says, pause in his presence. Never heard of that before.
Amen.
Just kind of cool. So here's the Passion Translations for verses 1-3. God, you're such a safe and powerful place to find refuge. You're a proven help in time of trouble. More than enough and always available whenever I need you. So we will never fear, even if every structure of support were to crumble away. We will not fear, even when the earth quakes and shakes, moving mountains and casting them into the sea. For the raging roar of stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode our faith in you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a mouthful and a half.
It is a lot. I don't read the Passion all that much, but I happened upon this, and I was like, wow, I like it. What do you think, Dad?
It's an amazing psalm, and I just think it's awesome how it starts off there with God being a safe refuge. Mm. And, you know, far be it from me to question C.S. Lewis, but he had a thing where he said, you know, God, Aslan, he's not safe, but he is good. And yes. I used to always internalize that. And I know what he means by that. But I think there's a sense where we have to understand that God is safe. He is actually safe. He's not reactive. Mm. He's not somebody that you can't predict his character. He's absolutely steadfast in his love and his faithfulness. And he is that refuge for us. Yeah. He's a strong tower. And if we're always constantly afraid of God's displeasure and his rejection mm-hmm. and his anger, you'll never trust him. You'll never have the sort of anchor in your soul that this psalm is talking about. And this is his rock solid conviction, even in the midst of, you know, this is climactic turmoil, you know, like the climate. And then there's, you know, there could be wars later that he's going to mention, and there can be just, you know, there could be nuclear war, and where's our security going to be, mm-hmm. you know, and God isn't going to be moved, you know, he does not change. So, this is such a revelation about who the Lord is. Later on, he's going to say, just be still and know that he's God. A little bit of a spoiler alert, you know, but this is the foundation on which that statement is made. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to understand that God is a father and he welcomes us into his heart, you know, and just to have that stability in the midst of these storms that are happening. So yeah. that's just an initial reflection. I wonder, you know, what you guys are thinking about it. So,
well, the first thing I love about this is it points you first and directly to God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God is our refuge and strength. And I go to the old King James or the new King James and a very present
yes.
help in time of trouble. And so he's always present. It's not like he left you and now you're you know, you're roaming around alone, you might feel that way. Yeah. But I love the way in this, I mean, this whole chapter, it kind of woos you into this safe place with the Lord.
Yeah.
This love, and like, hey, I'm here, just come, you know. And it, like, we'll discuss it. It opens up into so many different levels. But like David was saying earlier, you know, it's talking about later about all the things that are going to happen in the earth, just like Jesus does in Matthew. And so he's, you know, but he's still God.
Yeah,
and he's, it's not like it's a surprise to him. And so he's pointing us directly to him.
Yeah.
Like to keep our focus on him. And I think that's, it secures your heart. He becomes the anchor of our soul and not just a bunch of stuff. Because especially, and I think today, what this means to someone today listening to this is that there's going to be things that come up in life. And some of those things are going to be pretty hard things. They're going to be maybe even terrible things. And then the question is, will you resort to him or will you just back down because of the pressure of stuff happening in your life and things around you going upside down, or will you actually just lean in? And so I think the psalmist here, and I think when they sing things like this, especially, and like we said, like JT and I were kidding before the podcast, is that, you know, this is a church song that our choir sang for years, but it's a affirmative. It's like reminding ourselves, God is our refuge and strength. God is that who's who we turn to. And I think when we set our heart on him like that, we're starting off from a really strong place. And that's God. He's establishing us in a strong place with him. And then he's going to tell us all the rest of the story of what's happening. So
that's good.
That's my initial take on the first, before the first Selah.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I know. You could just pause and think about that for a while,
right? A long time.
I like that too. That stood out to me as well, Pastor Bob, with the very present help, the present part, because we all know when we're in the middle of trouble or trial or, you know, whatever's going on, he doesn't feel present. Everybody said, where did God go? He's not, where is he? You know, how come I feel like he's not there? And it's like, well, because you're relying on your feelings. Our feelings are not, oh man, I'm gonna say it. Our feelings are not the way that we walk with God. That's not even the way that we sense him.
Right.
It's not emotional. It's spirit to spirit. And so there's spirit talking to spirit. And so that's our actual true connection. But then we also have to have a cry of our heart that turns immediately to him, right? That's the refuge part. And then I also like how in the third word here, God is our, it's us. It's like, I may be saying it, but it's on behalf of us, my family or our local church or the group of believers that I walk with. God is our refuge and strength. So it's not just my, meaning singular, I'm alone in this by myself. It's our. And he's he's very, very present always, but especially in times of trouble when it definitely doesn't emotionally feel like he's near.
Right.
So I love that too. And then immediately it's speaking to the reason why we may not feel that he is present, but he may not feel like he is. It says, therefore we will not fear. So fear, feeling based, will make us feel alone. Will make us feel isolated, will make us feel, which is it's smoke and mirrors, but it's an emotional, you know, kind of a curtain, if you will, that we feel like he's not there because we're afraid.
Right. Well, I'd like to hear Pastor David on this because, like you say, right smack in the middle of this, all of a sudden there's this therefore, you know, it's like a summary. And then it's going to open up into the rest of what comes next. But this therefore, and then this affirmative statement, we will not fear.
Right.
Not, I hope you get by, you know, there's this just.
It'll be okay.
Yeah, you hope you're okay. It's like this pressing, you know, God's, because of God's faithfulness, there's this therefore thing that no, we will not fear. It's
That's not
me, it's striking.
That's not a commitment. That's not a resolution of a human.
Right.
That's the fact of being in Christ.
Yes.
Because God has refuge and strength. In the Old Testament, it was foreshadowed because God preserved the nation in a physical sense. He was all around them and he was within them in the glory in the temple. And that's the case with us. Christ is all around us and Christ is within us. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. His glory is in us. Man, I just, this is, and so this is what this is about, is like in Christ, we do not have a spirit of fear.
Right.
We have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Right. His perfect love casts out all fear. Fear has to do with the expectation of judgment. Okay, so this psalm, the context of this, thank you, Lord, is the judgment of God on all the nations. And so he's like, when God's judging, I'm not afraid. Mm-hmm. I've already been condemned in Christ and I rose again, vindicated. I'm actually not the target.
Right.
You know, and even the people that are being judged are not the target. It's the wickedness. He's making wars cease to the ends of the earth. And so just we'll get more into that. But it's the idea that I trust God so much because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, that if it looks like I'm being judged, I still trust him.
Right.
If I'm being thrown in the fire, I trust that he's going to bring me through.
Yes.
Though he slay me, I will trust him. Though he throws me into the outer darkness, I believe I'm going to leave my false self and bring my right self back to him. Mm-hmm. He could throw me in the flames of hell and I believe it's only going to refine me because that's who he really is. Mm-hmm. You know, and that sort of trust is a gift from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's because we see the character of God being totally for us, even when we're murdering him. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the Christ part. It's like, that's the therefore, is like something actually transforms in me when I know God's character, when I see the Christ and that I'm in him and he's in me. I will not fear. It's a promise. Mm-hmm. It's not, oh, God is present. I will not fear. That doesn't really work, you know?
It's actually, when I hear this psalm right from the beginning, it's almost prophetic. It's almost like, therefore, I believe that, you know, as someone listening to this right now, they may be going through some things like this and feeling shaken.
Yeah.
In their security with God or their place in God or, you know, trouble around them, trouble on every side. And I mean, this is a prophetic word from the Lord to you that, you know, you will not fear. Right. It's not, I like the way David was putting it. If you're just listening and not watching, you see David like crunching and going, like striving to get there and
overcome now.
Yeah, and overcome now. It's like, this is a promise.
Mortify the flesh.
Right. Yeah. But this is a promise of God. This is who he is.
Yes.
And so he's not going to change. And and the question is when we're in him, are we secure there?
Right.
Right. Or, you know, will we enter into the security that's being presented?
That's
to
awesome.
Us? It's not like, I think God is our refuge and strength. It's everything here is very affirmative. It's like God is our refuge and strength.
Right.
You know,
right. It's reality.
This really is appropriate for kind of even today, because there actually have been earthquakes and tsunami warnings and all kinds of actual physical manifestations of the earth, because the earth is groaning and travailing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of what, you know, you're speaking of earlier, Matthew 24 other sub-scriptures that talk about, you know, what's going to happen.
Romans 8.
Wars, rumors of wars, and all these other things. So I love this resolute lean in. We will not fear, though, and then here's the list. The earth gives way, right? The mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. That can be natural and spiritual catastrophe.
Yes.
Though its waters roar and foam through the mountains, right? And tremble at its swelling. And then it wants us to pause and think about that.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Mm. What is the saying? Come hell or high water.
Right? that's exactly right. Right. Here.
Right. Yeah. That the Lord, Spirit of God will raise up a standard when the enemy comes in like a flood. So if there's any sort of spiritual overwhelm or spiritual, sometimes emotionally even too, in our personality, when God's forming us, there's structures in our life, ways of thinking, even mindsets where we go, oh, this is totally how it's going to be. And all of a sudden that structure starts to topple and you're going, oh no, who am I? Where am I? And you're like, oh, don't forget, he's a refuge and he's strength. He's present, present to you in that time of change, that time of restructuring, we'll say. Mm-hmm. Restructuring. How does that hit you, David?
Restructuring?
Yeah.
it's a horrible thing to experience in our emotions, like you're talking about. That you know, you, let's say you have a giant career change or something changes in your relationships or your family, or you, mm-hmm. you have a death or mm-hmm. something like that. That's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's the waters are roaring and foaming, mm-hmm. and there's mm-hmm. noise, there's a spit coming off the waves and, you know, stinging your eyes. And it's a poetic way of thinking about it, that you're just like, which way is up? There's mm-hmm. turmoil. The waters in the Old Testament are symbols of chaos and the, you know, the powers of darkness, and just you're thrown into this. And if you don't have something at the core to sink back into, I don't know, like, it's going to be really hard. Yeah. It's going to be really hard to find that center and to move through it. And, yeah, we just want to give, like you started to say earlier, give people the permission to feel these, you know, these deep emotions, but not to swerve in their faith.
Yeah.
And not to, get out of rest in Christ's finished work in his presence.
Yeah.
But yeah, there will be a restructuring, and that's a necessary restructuring. Mm-hmm. This is God's going to carry you through the Reformation, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. That Christ is being formed in you. Mm-hmm. The image of God isn't being generated in you. It's being regenerated. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, you're actually being brought back into your original state mm-hmm. that you're made for. And that's going to be very uncomfortable when you have ingrained habits and thoughts and expectations and entitlements. That's what the Lord is always severe with. Have you ever noticed, like, how Jesus is severe with people? It's only the people that are entitled or rich in some way. It's never the person that's really going through it. You know, he's very severe with the things where we have attachments that won't last in his presence. You know?
We're secure in ourselves.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So that's yeah. going to go.
We are our own refuge. Right?
Well, it's going to go. And yeah. once it goes, we're not going to be sorry that it went.
Right.
But it's going to suck going through it. But once it's gone, you'll be like, dang, that was all loss. I'm so glad that was shaken free. That's not who I even was.
Right.
Well, I think also the some of the imagery behind this, the waters roar. You know, mm-hmm. I look at the waters of the seas of the earth. A lot of times in the Bible, it's speaking to the masses, to the people, sure. to the exactly. sea of humanity.
Yeah, right.
The nations. And they roar. I mean, it roars at us every day, yeah. right? You're constantly being inputted with mm. information on your phone and information on the news and information, you know, bad news from all around, mm. people coming with a bad report.
Right.
And you're like, oh, geez. And it's roaring. Yeah. It's, in other words, it's blurring out the sound. Like, if you've been yeah. really close to really big waves, it's like everything else is it's not happening, you know, but so yeah. It's just, you know, as a matter of fact, I remember being in Niagara Falls around mm-hmm. there, and when you're up close to it, it's just roaring loud. I mean, yeah. And so the humanity of our world, our life, can just roar at us. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it's disturbing. Mm-hmm. It's yeah. It's turning up. It's mm-hmm. messing. It's messing with our soul. Yeah. And that's, wow. that's what God is actually, he's speaking on a lot of levels here mm-hmm. because there's people, you know, going through all of that turmoil in their life. And we all do and will. The question is, what will be the anchor of
right.
our soul?
That's right.
That's yeah. the only question. And right. if we turn to our own thoughts, our own ideas, and how we can work our way out, we probably work our way more into the water.
Right.
And
yeah, I liked yeah. how you said that. I mean, I think I heard what you're saying was that mm-hmm. there's sort of these horrible things that happen in the earth, and there's, you know, mm-hmm. earthquakes and stuff. But then the thing that really hurts us is people, you know, raging, mm-hmm. raging at us, and yeah. people
right.
misunderstanding us, and, you know, like, really just overwhelmed. There's that overwhelming of actual people, and right. that totally hits your soul differently than right. even things that are, you know, maybe they're called acts of God. We don't believe that, you know, but yeah. it's just, you know, these horrible disasters that happen, you can cope with that in a certain way, but coping with the constant raging of the nations around
right.
you
right.
is, you know, that is a different beast.
And what about when we've
tested on all these levels?
What about, David, when we've misunderstood somebody and we've been that roar? Mm.
Most people don't ever realize it, and they just think they were right.
Yeah, so. Yeah, being always right is it's so good.
Yeah, but it's terrible to realize that.
Calm.
It is terrible to realize you've done that.
I like what you both said there. We're going, the Lord takes us from, you know, so again, waters, you were saying, David, mm-hmm. they are typified in two ways. Biblically, they could be raging. They could be distressed. Mm-hmm. They could be you know, grossly agitated, right? Like Peter walking on the water. Right. He looked down at the agitation. Mm-hmm. He looked at the raging that was being caused by the mm-hmm. wind, and he took his eyes off the Lord. But there's also waters, like speaks to in Psalm 23, but here also mm-hmm. in verse 4 of Psalm 46, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Boy, what a shift here, right? There's this mm-hmm. resolute statement of, I will not fear, or we will not fear, no matter what happens, whether it's this or this or this or this, and then there is a river mm-hmm. whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Pause and think about it.
It's the beginning of this scripture, when it speaks that there is a river, mm-hmm. To me, whenever I read this scripture or meditate on it, it's like all of a sudden I'm wooed into this place with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And because that river, if you actually study it out, and it goes to several different scriptures, is actually the river that comes from the throne of God. Yes. And so it's got this life associated with it, this peace associated with it, mm-hmm. and God mm-hmm. associated with it. Right. Like he's in the river. Okay, right. I guess that's a good way to put it. And so this river that makes glad, you know, mm-hmm. it's the city of God, who we are. Like we're lively stones, we're the house of God, we're, you know. And so I don't know, whenever I read this, I start to smile and go, I just get, like I said, wooed into that place with him. Like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. that's such a good place to be. Right. Like you were saying, you know, the other Psalms that talk about this, you know, this path right alongside mm-hmm. a calm water. And mm-hmm. it, you know, it's just, it's a great place. But to remember this comes, and this scripture actually unwraps that. It, you know, it talks about it's the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High God. It, this is where that river is coming from.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing to me that the thing, that the element that can cause so much turmoil in previous scriptures can be total peace mm-hmm. when it comes from him.
Right.
It's mind-boggling to me, and I don't know. I hope that someone locks into that and just that they find their place to that river, you know, their way to that river, and just ease in, let it wash you, I don't know. To me, it's, you're just like kind of moseying down the river. I'm sorry.
Sounds great.
I'm sorry. It sounds refreshing. You went to my happy place there, so I don't know.
That's good, man.
No, look at David. He's like floating.
He's right there. Now. He's there.
Are you in an inner tube, or are you just like?
I'm just thinking about, you know, obviously this is a poem, so like the river is, you know, it's living waters. It's it's moving, but at a good pace. It's refreshing. Has a music to it. You know.
Yeah.
It drowns out the noise. It's just the stilling quality of Holy Spirit, right? Because John 7 says that out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so this river is a person.
Oh yeah, he is.
And
the river.
It's cool around all around us. There's like, you know, there's this churning and God's working. He's doing dynamic stuff.
Right.
But at the core of his being is peace.
Yes.
You know, and we are in the core of his being.
Yeah.
And he's in the core of our being.
Right.
And if we open ourselves up to that, there is this water that rinses away, you know, the pain, and it rinses away mm-hmm. The dryness and everything. So it's a restorative stream. Right. It's a Ezekiel 47. It goes into all the brackish places and turns them fresh. Mm-hmm. It raises the dead, even if you look at it. Turns the Dead Sea into a lake of living water. Mm-hmm. Right. And so this is a regenerating, you know, like I said, it's healing waters.
Yeah.
And so it delights the city of God. It brings, it's a river of delights. And so we're not just trying to grit our teeth and get through our life and be good, you know. So we have to learn how to commune with the person mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a New Testament interpretation of this, but it's the fullness of what's being said. That God is in the midst of us. Yeah. we won't be moved, right? And so
yes,
the nations don't have those resources. We actually have something we can tap into, and it's God's gift, right? It's right. His gift to heal us in the midst of turmoil, but I believe to extend to the world, to extend out from the holy habitation of the Most High, to water these nations later on, to make the wars cease from the ends of the earth, that the peace within us should be making peace around us. Right. And so this is God's solution. It's not just preserve the people that are in him until everything burns away. No, he's like, actually, we're going to release waters to the earth. We're going to water the garden again. The scorched places will become the Garden of Eden. This is the gospel of the kingdom. And so it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. It comes through the peace of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's not how, you know, all these nations are warring and they're conquering. God conquers too, but he conquers with peace, you know? And this is the good news, that when we have peace, when our wars have been conquered internally, you know, when we cease fighting and cease striving and know that he's God, I think the wars around us will start to cease. But, you know, that would mean that the church had to understand that.
Yeah.
That we're not fighting everybody.
Right.
We're actually trying to bring people into peace, who is also a person, but everything's God, you know, but basically it's, but God is for us and he's within us.
So. That's a good word, David, you know, cause he is the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
And so as we're, you know, evangelizing Christ to people, you know, one of the big things you said, kingdom too, like the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy.
Amen.
And those things should be flowing out of us, right? By way of Holy Spirit. Yes. And out of our innermost being, right? And so as those things flow out, we should be water to the nations.
Yes.
You know, that will emanate. And here's the other thing. That actually can happen even in the middle of trouble.
Oh, it will.
Like right in the middle of it. It's not just, as you were depicting earlier, it's not just the preservation, like hunker down and, oh God, shelter me.
Yeah.
You know, la, 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 la. I don't want anything to happen bad.
Yeah.
It's actually in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the raging whatever, in the emotional distress, the physical distress, the healing that hasn't happened yet in your physical body, and you're just tormented by it, and you're still pushing forward. God can still pour through you to others.
Yes,
He can. You can still be a distributor of His righteousness, His peace, and His joy, even though you may not even be experiencing that. Which is wild.
Amazing. Amazing.
Because that's who he's called us to be. And then you said something too about kingdom. It was, you know, Jesus said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter or perceive at this time the reality that we live in right now, in the temporal life that we have. The perception of the kingdom is so critical to our ability to walk and receive him as our refuge. Because otherwise we're just like, I'm doing this on my own in this world, and I'm just trying to like be okay and like get along with everybody. And that's good and that's fine. It's good to try to strive for peace with all men. But what God wants us to is not to just strive. He wants us to partake.
Amen. That's exactly right. It's like, I'm not trying to live the best human life I can with all the help of God. That was the old covenant.
Right.
Hey, look, I have all the instructions. I have the Spirit upon me. I'm going to work hard at it. Fail. We're not living our life with God's help. We're living the Christ life. Christ is living through us as a river through us. And how do we hop on his perfect obedience to the Father? How do we hop on his perfect human response? How do we join ourselves in one spirit to him? Well, through abiding in love, through peace. Right. And actually allowing that to flow out, you know, and that is that's actually something that you need to posture before God, and he'll teach you to do that. It's not natural to anybody.
Right.
Not natural to me. Way easier to say something like that. Quote Galatians, you know, it's okay. You know, Christ living in me. But how do I really let him live his life through me? That's what's going to bring peace. Right. Mm-hmm. It isn't that like staple something onto my performance to make it better.
Right.
Energy of God, help my energy. It's like, well, no, like join with the energy of God.
Right.
In perfect union,
you
know, and that's a fine line maybe, but I think it gets missed. You know, I've missed it for many years. I'm just starting to kind of grasp some of it. And There's an ease, there's effort, there's trial, there's persecution, there's everything you're talking about. We don't feel it in our emotions, but there's the presence of Christ. Mm-hmm. And there's him going, hey, all right, reach out again, mm-hmm. reach out again, mm-hmm. reconcile,
yeah,
love, serve, right? Like that's what he does, but
right. yeah.
I don't need to teach you guys that.
Well, I think that the
basically what happens.
So. Right in the middle yeah. of this part of the psalm mm-hmm. yeah. is once again another declarative, hey, you know, it's a prophecy from God.
Right.
God is in the midst of her.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. She shall not be moved.
Right.
This is not like, once again, this is not the white knuckles. Hopefully, you know, we're trying to make it happen. I'm not going to be moved no matter what. No, it's like the reason she's not moved is because God is in the midst of her. That's the only reason. It's not because you did so good. Or you tried so hard, or you accomplished so much, or your ministry was so great.
That's right.
It goes on and says, God shall help her just as the break of dawn. It's a guarantee. You know what I'm saying? It's like this guarantee.
Wow.
And then what I like about the end of this little section here before the second Selah mm-hmm. is it talks about that the Lord of hosts is with us. Once again, another declarative. This whole section is, hey, I'm here right. with you. You right. understand that you're not alone in this. And then the God of Jacob is our refuge. And that refuge is actually, you study, it's a high place. Mm-hmm. It's not like a high tower. It's mm-hmm. the Lord is high tower. The righteous run into him right. and they're safe. But yes. we're going to him because he's already with us, right. God with us. Right. And so it's not so dependent on us. Huh?
Right.
You know, and I think when we go off, and we all will tend to, mm-hmm. is when we have decided in our minds that it really does depend on us. Mm. And it doesn't depend on us at all.
And actually. We need to make right. it look a certain way too.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't yield to how he does it.
Yeah, and just the recognition that he is very present. Mm-hmm. He is a faithful God. And just like the dawn comes in the morning, God right. is, you know, he's established this. Mm, right. It hasn't okay. changed, you know, in all these centuries.
Right, right.
Why, you know, he's giving us things naturally mm. we can look at and recognize and recollect. Oh right. yeah, God. Oh yeah. Okay. That does happen. Like you can think about your worst situation you went through mm-hmm. when you were filled with fear and anxiety and, you know, commotion in your life, and then recognize that, oh, well, eventually that I recognized God was in the midst right. and it changed.
Yes.
Like it moved to the next place. And right. that's, I think what he's saying is like, hey, I'm a faithful God mm. and I am in the midst of you, not because you're faithful, but because I'm mm-hmm. faithful.
That's right.
Covenant.
right.
Covenant. Yeah.
It's covenant.
Coming to
yes.
mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. This anyway, is covenant. What, yeah. Covenant language mm-hmm. I'm hearing with all these I wills.
Yes.
Because those are, it's like he's reminding you of the vow he made when you cut covenant with him.
Yes.
He's reminding you of what he is committed to. As we are, as
you know, he's also doesn't have the big stick. Lent. If you don't,
no,
it's not that thing. It's like because he recognizes
because they really didn't
really. Yeah. he recognizes that you know that he recognizes what we don't, and right. that is that we're totally bonded to him.
Sure.
Like we're sure. in him,
one spirit, right.
one spirit, and there's where we go off, right? And it's mm-hmm. usually, you know, like I said, our spirit remains firm and established, mm-hmm. and it doesn't mm-hmm. shake. Our soul
has, on the other hand,
brain damage sometimes goes off and, you know, so I don't know who am I.
The soul like a balloon that you like let go. That's not fully blown up. It's just, yes. you're just yeah. all over.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he restores our soul.
Yes.
Yes.
Once he has us sit down and
right.
sit down and leads
it's
us.
It's interesting. Yeah, he has to restore
psalm.
It.
Yeah. You know what I just realized? If you divided Psalm 46 by two, you get 23.
Oh, interesting.
I usually never see those number things, but like, I just saw one like, what?
JT, numerics.
Why is it reverting to Psalm 23 so much?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, so third section here. This is in the NASB. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. He's speaking. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Jesus.
I want to read that in a passion real quick. Mm. Everyone look, come and see the breathtaking wonders of our God, for he brings both ruin and revival. He's the one who makes conflicts end throughout the earth, breaking and burning every weapon of war. Surrender your anxiety. Be still and realize that I am God. I am God above all nations, and I am exalted throughout the whole earth. Here he stands, the commander, the mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. Wow. David?
What's it mean? What does the word God mean? The mighty Lord of angel armies. The one who transcends all categories.
Oh, right.
There's a church father I've been reading, Maximus.
Okay.
And he says, God, you know, God is being, right? Like that's the idea. But he's actually not. He's beyond being. Mm. He's beyond the category of being. And he's beyond being beyond the category of being.
He is his own category.
And I say all that to say, what does it mean to say he is God?
Yeah, right.
He's absolutely unlimited.
He doesn't have a category, is what he's
saying. No. He even lays aside. People have categories for God, like, oh, he's invulnerable. Right. Well, then he's like, oh, I'll die on the cross.
Yeah.
But he doesn't subscribe to any man-made categories. Yeah. You know, so I just wanted to throw that one in there. I have a lot I can say on this, obviously, but we forget, or we don't. It's hard to trust. How could he be fully for me? And if he is, who could be against me?
Right.
I mean, that's the logic of Romans. Nothing can separate me from his love.
Right.
Nothing in all creation. If I'm in Christ, I think even my free will is a created thing.
Oh,
okay. But anyway, it's like nothing can separate me in Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm totally good because he is in me. Mm-hmm. So what's my response? I gotta chill. You know, the word literally for be still is relax. Right. I just looked it up before this. It means drop the burden. He's like, I got it. You know, my yoke is easy.
Yeah.
My burden's light. Mm-hmm. Does that mean you just, you know, you never engage with God and then everything works out automatically? No. We have to still ourselves in his presence.
Right.
But he is the one that's for us. And what is the result? He makes all the war end. He's like, there's going to be no war. They're going to beat their plowshares into plowshares, right? Mm-hmm. This is the peace that God is bringing. He's like, I'm going to be exalted among the nations. I'm going to be exalted in the earth. Look at my works. Look what I've done so far. Look what I will do, right. You know? And he's like, your response is to trust me because of who I am, you know? And that's not weird for God to say that. He's like, this is the fact of it.
Right.
Like you've been saying, I'm God. And yeah. we need to decide who God is. I need to decide who God is. Is he actually the one that's going to do these things and he's willing to do them? Yeah. Or is he like, well, I'm waiting to see what you guys do and maybe you'll screw it up and maybe, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really actually going to fly off the handle. That's like, you just got to choose what God you have and keep that God.
You know? Well, even if you don't decide who God is, he's going to be God.
He is.
But you won't. Yeah, exactly. But you won't benefit at all.
Right. Well, I have a hard time with this scripture here. I think the first part of it, because it's like God in total transparency. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, this is the deal. I do stuff. Right. And like you have to get used to this because, you know, he says, come and behold the works of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to describe the works of the Lord. And he's like, who has made desolations in the earth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. So there's, you know, he can make it happen and make it stop.
Right.
Uh-huh. Like that's right. God. He's right. Ultimate almighty. He's not, you know, what we try to make this, you know, this peaceful, happy, nice God in the corner, you know, who doesn't do it. It's like, yeah, he's God.
Right.
And stuff happens and God's in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we just like, you know, that was the devil. It's like, really, the devil doesn't have that kind of power.
Right. You know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for
right.
good.
pretty good.
That's and the deep end.
Yeah, this is a really deep end. This is like I have a hard time with these scriptures here because he's introducing God, Almighty, like you said, not just you know the God of the angel, the God that doesn't have, like you say, a category.
Right.
He's that's you know insane, like because we want to make God like we want to make him just by our terms,
sure,
not by the fact that he's
by
God.
Our own perception,
right? We want what's right with us, right? Okay, and so each one of us decide what's right, and we go, that's God.
Uh-huh.
And it's like God's like, you know, I'm a little past that.
It's an idol. God's a consuming fire.
Everything about him.
Everything he does is pure love, but that requires judgment.
Yes.
He judges everything that's not in line with love. Mm-hmm. His love can burn as passion. It can burn as mercy. It can burn as wrath. It can burn as jealousy. You know, he's actually making wars cease by winning the war.
Right.
Right.
Now he's winning it through peace, through his river. You know, he's winning it through whatever means. He will call to account. No one is going to mock God. Whatever everyone sows is going to be reaped. We don't mess with God. We understand that we have a connection to something that's totally unknowable if he doesn't make himself known.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yet in the stillness, he makes himself known. Mm-hmm.
And this is where he goes. And I love, once again, right in the middle of this last third section, God's prophesying again.
Yeah.
It's declarative again. It's like, be still and know that I am God.
Right.
I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
Mm.
I mean, it's like you think it all depends on you. It doesn't really, you know, he's going to be is not dependent on us. The question is, are we going to come along with his plan, or, you know, we're going to act like we have our own that supersedes his.
Right.
And you know something? I think sometimes we can fool ourselves for a while and believe that our plan is superseding his.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh yeah, I will be exalted.
Right.
Sometimes he lets our plan supersede his for a little bit.
Oh,
and then we go, oh man, that did not,
that did not
work out.
Exactly. That's when he burns the chariots on fire. That's what you say.
He basically has to just take his hands off and it already flies off the handle.
Right.
You don't want his hands not on your life. That's a problem. I love this this verse 10, you know, Lord's prophesying here, cease striving, that he uses the word striving. Mm-hmm. That's interesting because it directly contrasts verse 1, you know, that says that he is our strength. Mm-hmm. He's our strength. And that is both of those, you know, to me speak to our ability to grasp for things, right? If I'm striving, I am grasping for something. I'm reaching out. I'm extending myself. I am pursuing. I'm in hot pursuit of something because I want to obtain something. And that's this idea of grasping. Sometimes that can be in the natural, right? I'm working with my hands to attain money and wealth. But why? Because it's things that I've earned and have striven for in my own hands and my own strength. But we know that walking with the Lord, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so this striving, he literally tells us, stop doing that. Stop from all your striving and know that I am God. We quote it so, I think it gets this kind of poetic, like, oh, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And that's like good. But what he's actually saying is release what you're grasping onto in your hand. Like let it, you're not letting it go.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a calm yourself down emotionally.
It's not zen.
No, it is not calm yourself down emotionally. It is let go of what you are holding on to or harboring in your heart. Yeah. That's the picture of striving. Do you? Yeah.
Yes.
Did you want me to say that again, Dad?
No, I actually, if you knew what I was thinking about, I was thinking about this old cartoon when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I forget the name of it, but it's like some big
take us there.
Big Bird, and he's like, I'm talking to you, boy. Listen.
Oh,
I'm talking to you.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, I knew I said, cease your striving. Sit down, boy.
I'm talking to you.
You're taking on too much.
Thank you, man.
I love Foghorn Leghorn.
I forgot what the name was, and I went, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Shout out Papa Pope. Papa Pope. Yeah. Pastor Gregory Pope in Georgia. He loves Foghorn Leghorn.
Really?
Yeah. Sit down, boy. You're taking on too much. You do. What you doing? Don't you know that I'm your refuge and I'm sure you're straight? Yeah. That's so funny. You just put God's voice in.
I'm sorry. I went there and I could just hear him. I'm like,
I feel the anointing.
You can't see, like, Pastor Bob is like dying of laughter over here silently on the microphone. I'm having this deep reflection on Stripe. No, anyways.
Yeah.
I love it.
Good, I went into my special place there with
him. No, it's good. It's so good. But yeah, striving isn't, let's be blunt. Striving is an issue. We all think, I actually think striving is from the enemy. He wants us to think that we have to do it on our own. Mm-hmm. We have to do it in our own strength, and we have to do it all by ourselves, because that's the thing that will prove that we are whatever we think we are.
Yeah.
Right.
And the Lord's like, that's all dead. Yep. It's all dead.
You're right.
He's like, that's a good one. He's like, that's a good, you came up with a really good, that's a good one.
Oh, I mean, in striving, you're trying to obtain something that you don't think is yours.
Yeah.
When you're an heir, you're like, all things are mine. And you still pursue things, but much differently.
Well, when you're entitled, you'll think it's yours.
Yeah.
That's the prodigal son. Give to me all that's owed to me. Give it all. I want my inheritance now. That is striving. Yeah. Give it to me. I want to take it. And then you take it and you run with it, and without relationship,
yes,
that's a problem. Maybe,
but a son actually cares for the things that are his.
That's right.
Or the father's.
He doesn't
abandon those things, and he's not striving for them because they're already his. He's the steward of those things.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I think there is kind of a devotional diagnostic here, even though it's not about being a Zen lord and, you know, like, you're always, you know, everything's okay, you know. But like, if you actually do sit down and you try.
Wait, I'm going to try to cross my legs.
Hold on,
I could
crossing
cramp
our
here.
Legs. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Eyes. Go ahead, Zen lord.
I mean, if you try not to move for 5 minutes, it's hard. If you try not to, like, spin off in a thought for 5 minutes, it's hard. If you just dwell in the presence of God for 5 minutes, then every thought that comes up, even a scripture, even a vision, even, and you're just like, no, I want to be with you, Lord. That's hard to actually still yourself before God and say, and that is a cool way of actually seeing, like, where am I striving in my own strength versus, you know, where's God moving me? You know, where is Christ operating? Mm-hmm. And I think you can see, like, you know, Jesus went for stuff, but he did it in a totally surrendered way. He was always, you know, modeling, doing the works of the Father, but he said, I do nothing of my own will.
That's it.
I do what the Father does. Yep. And are we supposed to be like Jesus? Yeah. You know? So for me, that's how I balance the whole, like, you know, faith and works type thing. It's like, well, it's from a place of total yieldedness and non-working that you do the works of the Father.
Sure.
Because you've stilled away all the noise and you've been like, okay, Holy Spirit, like, I prize your presence more than a great meditation thought. Like, for me, I'm like, I could talk to the Lord all day about, you know, scripture things or theologies or even visions for ministry or outreach or, oh man, God, give me this spiritual gift. Like, I could do that all day. Whoa, what an amazing prophetic word. What an amazing vision. Like, you're bringing me into the third heaven. But actually to, like, be still and just know that he's God and be like, I know that I don't know what it means that you're God.
Oh yeah.
Well, I think the know there,
that's where you actually start to gain a weird peace. Because you're like, oh boy, he's bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
Well, I think that no there is, that no is all about communion.
Yeah.
And that's where, so we go into mental striving all the time because, again, we're trying to figure stuff out. And I believe that's for somebody today, to be honest. Like, there's times where we mentally are striving. The wheels do not stop. The mind is going. What about this? What about that? Oh, I think I could do it this way. Well, what if it works this way? Well, gosh, Lord, just give me wisdom. Okay, now here's what I'm going to do. And we're just having this nonstop conversation. Anybody have a young child who's just like, and then I did da 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 da, and then I did da da da, and then you're, as a parent, you're just like, okay, honey, hold on a minute. Just let's be still for a second. Like, that's how I hear this. Like a father just saying, okay, hold on. Let's wind it all down and know who I am. Mm-hmm. Because in the mm-hmm. knowing, in that time of communion, in that time of stillness, you will come to know that, one, you can trust him. Mm-hmm. And all your mental musings and mm-hmm. multiplicity of gymnastics are not getting you anywhere. You're running around in your mind and you're tiring yourself out mentally.
Yeah.
And then that actually causes, as it said in the Passion Translation, anxiety. Mm-hmm. It actually physically manifests in your body as anxiety. You're unsettled. You have, when we're out of communion with the Lord, we are unsettled. We
are insecure.
We are a raging tempest. Yeah. And that's emotional. That's also intellectual. Because mm-hmm. we can go through all right. kinds of intellectual ruminating about this and that, and we are not at peace. Mm-hmm. We just continue to go. So whether it's mental, emotional, physical, all of these have to find their place of stillness in him.
Yeah, there's a radical synthesis between the dynamism of God and the stillness of God. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to err on one side or the other. Oh, I'm just, you know, I focus on the stillness. Or like, oh, I do stuff. You know, I'm in the dynamic side. But when we actually prioritize sitting down in our identity and who is God and take a vacation from the anxiety, take a vacation from the mental gymnastics, mm-hmm. just take a vacation with the Father. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Abba is doing works through you. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, he's praying through you. All of a sudden, you're figuring it out. The Christ life is coming out.
Right.
Or you're just doing that thing you mentioned of, okay, here's my life. Give me wisdom how to do my life, Lord.
Right.
Give me power for my life. It's like, that's not it. Still your life. Yeah, David, you know, like just settle down.
Chill out.
Yeah, and that's what it means.
Right.
And because God is totally able to keep us secure, right? And to make the war cease.
Yeah. It's well, mm-hmm. so I love what you said there, David, with mm-hmm. the dynamic. It's mm-hmm. both.
Yep.
It's always been both.
Yep.
You need to have doctrine and you need dynamic.
Yep.
You need what is solid and also what is fluid. Mm-hmm. Like this is, and that's not, I mean, it sounds very Zen, but it's not.
No, it's not.
The reality is you can be at peace and actually completely be overcoming simultaneously.
Kind of like Jesus.
Yeah. So I'm hearing you. It's not one or the other.
No. It's the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
So.
Well. The Lord God is with us.
He is.
Yeah.
Well, Dad, do you want to close us out?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay.
I mean, I'll just pray. Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Father, I know that there's those that have reached this place in this podcast, and Father, they've struggled with all sorts of stuff because we are just people. And I pray, Father, that you would touch them with your peace, your strength. You'd overwhelm them, oh God, and that you'd draw them into the place where you are at, oh God, that they might see you and know you, that they be with you, Father. So keep them in the name of Jesus. Let your peace be upon their lives. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode, and for more information, visit our website, spiritschoolofministry.com.